Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Creator, through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and through the Holy Spirit who continues to surprise us. Amen. So I have to admit something. This is one of those gospel stories that pastors get a little nervous about. Not because we don't love it. I'm one of them. I do. It's one of the very few stories that appears in all four gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all tell it. And in fact, Matthew and Mark tell others like it throughout their gospel. Whatever happened on that day made such an impression that the early church couldn't stop telling the story. And yet for centuries, Christians have debated exactly what happened there. Did Jesus literally multiply 5 loaves and 2 fish? Or did Jesus perform an even deeper miracle by changing people's hearts so they stopped hiding what they had and began sharing with one another? I honestly don't know. Maybe it's the first, maybe it's the second, maybe it's a little both. But I have a feeling Matthew isn't nearly as interested in explaining how the miracles happened as he is in showing us who Jesus is and what happens whenever Jesus shows up. Because before there is bread, there is compassion. Now, Matthew tells us that Jesus had just received devastating news. John the Baptist, his cousin, his friend, his fellow truth teller, had been executed by Herod. Jesus gets in a boat, heads for a deserted place by himself. Can you blame him? Sometimes you simply don't have anything left to give. After a funeral, after caring for someone you love, after a frightening diagnosis, after an exhausting week, sometimes you just need a quiet space to breathe. And that's where Jesus is. He isn't looking for a crowd. He's looking for solitude. But the crowds find him anyway. Thousands of them. People who are sick, people who are hurting, people who are so desperate that they will walk for miles just to be near him. And Matthew says something so simple that we could almost miss it. He had compassion for them. Not irritation, not exhaustion, not, can this wait until tomorrow? Compassion. Everything that follows begins there, with compassion. Then evening comes, and the disciples are looking around. It's getting late. They're out in the middle of nowhere. People are getting hungry. And they come up with what sounds like a most reasonable solution. Send the crowds away. Honestly, I probably would have suggested the same thing. You know, well, Missy and I were in Paris one afternoon. We were walking a walking tour through the town of Montmartre. And as we were going through one of the parks, we noticed some unhoused people resting or sleeping on park benches. And in a side conversation, I overheard someone in our tour group ask our guide, where did they go? He paused for a moment and said, they really don't have anywhere else. And the person asked, well, what do the authorities do about it? And his answer surprised me. He said, they allow them to sleep there. It's a public place. And they're part of the public. I've thought about that conversation a number of times since, and not because I suddenly become an expert on French public policy, I certainly didn't, but because of the one simple sentence. They are part of the public. In other words, they belong here. Now, sleeping on a park bench isn't a complete answer to homelessness. It doesn't solve the larger problem. But what struck with me was this. Their first response wasn't to chase people away. And it reminded me of our gospel. The disciples' first instinct is send them away. Jesus' first instinct is no, they need not go away. you give them something to eat. Those are two completely different ways of seeing people. The disciples see a problem. Jesus sees people. The disciples see scarcity. Jesus sees possibility. The disciples see mouths to feed. Jesus sees neighbors who belong. And isn't that where scarcity always begins? Not just with bread, but with the belief that there isn't enough. Not enough money, not enough volunteers, not enough energy, not enough time, not enough patience, not enough hope. Scarcity is one of the loudest voices in our world. It whispers that there is never enough. And if there isn't enough, you better hang on to whatever you've got. But Jesus speaks a different language. He speaks the language of abundance. Notice something. Jesus never asks the disciples what they don't have. He asks them to bring what they do have. 5 loaves, 2 fish, bring them here. God rarely begins with abundance. God always begins with willingness. Bring me what you have. It goes back to that question I raised at the beginning, which is exactly the greater miracle, that Jesus multiplied 5 loaves and 2 fish, or that Jesus changed thousands of human hearts? Can you picture it? Imagine a little child reaching into a satchel and whispering, "Mom, didn't we bring some extra bread?" Another family quietly unwraps what they had packed. Someone else notices, then another and another. You know, maybe what multiplied wasn't just bread. Maybe generosity multiplied. Maybe trust multiplied. Maybe compassion multiplied. Or maybe Jesus created bread out of nothing, I don't know. But here's what I do know. Either way, only Jesus could do it. Because changing hearts is every bit as miraculous as multiplying bread. And when Matthew uses 4 familiar words. Jesus took, Jesus blessed, Jesus broke. We hear those words every time we gather around this table. Those words aren't just about bread. They're about us. Jesus takes ordinary people. He blesses us with gifts and grace we never earned. And he breaks open our fearful hearts. And then he gives us away. Not to earn God's love, but because we've already received it. And I have to tell you, one of the gifts of being away on sabbatical is that when you come back, you often see familiar things with fresh eyes. I've been reminded again just how often I see the miracle happening here at Our Savior and Purdue Lutheran Ministries. A successful church reunion with shared meal and stories, preparations to welcome students back, preparations for a booth at Outfest, prayers offered, neighbors cared for, continued dreaming about our property and how it may become a blessing to the community, quiet acts of kindness that most people never really see. I mean, no one's trying to make headlines. No one's looking for recognition. It's simply God's people taking what they have and placing it into Jesus' hands. Perhaps that's the miracle Matthew most wants us to see. The miracle isn't only that hungry people are fed. The miracle is that Jesus looked at a frightened group of disciples who wanted to send everyone away and transform them into people through whom God's abundance flowed. He's still doing that. Every Sunday, when we gather around this table, Jesus says to us, "You need not go away. You belong here. Everyone, all of God's people belong here. Hungry, come. Grieving, come. Doubting, come. Joyful, come. You need not go away." And then, fed by God's grace, God sends us back into the world so that others might hear those same words, not only with their ears, but through our lives and our God-given gifts. Because whenever Jesus is present, people belong. Compassion grows. Scarcity loosens its grip. Hearts are opened and bread is shared. And somehow, by God's grace, there is enough. Thanks be to God. Amen.